You remember that company by the name of HTC?
Yeah, they're still kicking around.
You remember that name?
Yeah.
Man, that name was synonymous with Android at one time.
Yeah.
You couldn't talk about Android without HTC. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably don't remember that. That, of course, is the Taiwanese smartphone maker. They were there at the entry point, early days Android, pushing the agenda. I mean, you're going to have to take me on a trip down memory lane here. I don't even remember the models. I had the 1M8, but that's not even the earliest stuff. 1S, was that before that? I don't remember. But of course, I had all these. I did videos on these. And they were a real player. They were a real contender at one point in time, making some pretty nice hardware. I remember they made a big deal out of the stereo speakers on that 1M8. And I think at one time they even had a relationship with Beats on the audio performance. Anyway, they kind of faded. They fizzled a little bit. I think part of their operation was purchased at one point, possibly by Google, part of the hardware operation. I don't remember completely. All right. You can't. It's a lot of details out there. But just as far as a significant player in the space, particularly here in North America, you just have heard about them less and less. But it's kind of weird because a lot of their products were beloved, dare I say, in a medieval tone. But anyway, they're not done. They're still kicking around. They're still there. And oh, the clear, remember the U12 Plus? The device with the transparent back? No,
oh,
you don't.
Right, yeah.
You don't. You do. You kind of do. They put a real transparent back on a phone. Weirdly enough, it's still on their website there. I don't know. That's an old phone. You see
well,
how
they're
sad,
not making any.
You see how sad phones. It's got? It's a dual camera setup, Will. You're crazy. Anyway, so they've got two new phones, and they're not packing it in just yet. Now the two new devices, the Desire 20 Pro. They always had a thing with the Desire and, you know,
the sensual names.
I don't know, or names like that. Desire 20 Pro and U25G. So they will have a 5G phone, and I don't know. They look okay. It's hard in 2020. You don't even know what you're doing in 2020. You started looking at smartphones. You don't even know. Bunch of cameras. Hole punch. Lot of screen. 2020. Smartphone. But it looks okay to me. It has a cool kind of texture on the back, which is a bit unusual. Fingerprint scanner on the back, which, of course, we're not seeing that all the time anymore. That's just becoming increasingly rare. The camera cutout over on in the top corner there. It looks like a four-camera setup. Hole punch in the display and a really big display. So listen to this. HTC U25G 6.8 inch FHD plus LCD. 6.8. That's no joke, Will. So that's a pretty big screen. Now, these aren't going to be top of the line devices. You are looking at mid-range devices. Snapdragon 700 series, 765G for the U25G. 8 gigs of RAM, 256 storage. I like the fact it's got a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. It's not the fastest charger in the world, but it does have an 18-watt fast charge through Quick Charge 4. People are not, at least in this article here, XDA developers, they're not super convinced that it's going to be a top-tier performer on the camera front. They're not super convinced. And in the beginning, both of these devices are only going to be available in Taiwan before they branch out to the rest of the world, though apparently the 5G model is slated to eventually reach into other markets, including where? I apologize. Actually, it's the Desire 20 Pro, the non-5G version, which is apparently likely to make its way to Europe, Africa, and the Middle East at least. So I don't know if you recall, I looked at a couple of devices targeted at Africa, and they kind of had a similar layout to this rear fingerprint setup. They didn't have 700 series Snapdragon. This is going to be more expensive than that, though prices haven't been shared. But it's just, you know, where do they sell smartphones? Where does HTC put their attention if they want to have a resurgence? It's already so well established at the flagship level. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you take an old brand name, an old trusted brand name, and you go after some new markets with a mid-range. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens, but I'm glad they're still in it to a certain extent. Maybe it's a nostalgia factor playing a part, but they just have a strong, they own a strong piece of the Android origin story. So it's cool to see them kicking around. And their hardware has always been nice, in my experience. Granted, the spec list and particularly the cameras kind of started to lag at a certain point. And the price stayed at that premium level. So now you go down to the mid-range, focus on the mid-range a little bit more. I should note that the Desire 20 Pro is actually a 600 series Snapdragon 665. So the 5G model gets the 700 series. The non-5G model, probably slated for a wider release and a lower price point, is actually in the 600 series. Just keep that in mind, Will, if you're in the market here. I don't know what you're in the market for. You've been using a Galaxy S20. Why do you want a mid-range phone? You don't. You don't and you won't.
Probably not.
But who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of upgrades, what do I mean speaking? What does that mean? I wasn't talking about upgrades. I was just saying you're not going to get an HTC phone. It's a terrible segue. We're off to a great start here. Back in the studio. What are we doing? We don't know. We're sitting across from each other. We did that much. We have cameras. We did that much. Microphones, we did that much. Segways, we're working on it. I saw this post. I saw Dave 2D posted about this. He's a big laptop guy. You know Dave. He loves the laptop.
Likes to take them apart.
Yeah, he loves the laptop.
Yeah.
Far as I can tell. Head over to his channel. So I saw him tweet out about this kind of quiet update to the 16-inch MacBook Pro. It got a hot new GPU. Hot new GPU. I said it twice. That's how hot it is.
Like hot as...
No, it's not hot like that. Hot like it can do stuff.
Okay.
Particularly in the creative fields of the video editing and the whatnot. So you might be interested. It's apparently this new GPU, 75% faster. That's a big jump.
Oh, yeah.
75. You'll take that. Coming via Ars Technica. This morning, Apple quietly added a third discrete GPU configuration option for the 16-inch MacBook Pro. Of course, the 16-inch MacBook Pro, it's their... they want to sell it to you. They don't want you buying these Mac Pros. What are you doing? They think the whole world... That's why they hardly ever update the Mac Pro. They think the whole world can get all their work done on the Mac Pro. Of course, I'm speculating, but... I'm betting with this new GPU, probably the laptop is going to outperform many configurations on the big giant desktop because it's got this fast video memory, HBM2 video memory, which in Final Cut, it's all the optimizations, stabilization effects, and the export. HBM2, baby.
When hardware meets software.
A love story. Yeah. It's like... It's a rom-com.
It's funny?
That's right. Oh, okay. When hardware meets software. Well, let's be honest. Those rom-coms aren't really funny. If you're laughing at that, feel bad for you. Mostly about the romance, Will. That's why you're there.
Oh, yeah. Hot and heavy.
I mean, I'll never forget the rom-com you participate in across the street.
Can we not talk about that?
I'll never forget it. Right. It's burned into my mind.
When well, nothing happened.
Because Otis might not be here right now if it wasn't for that rom-com. So
let's get to this.
I'm just saying, you know. Okay, 75% faster than the stock Radeon Pro 5500M, which has 4 gigabytes of GDDR6. It's an expensive upgrade. If you go for this thing, what are you looking at? If you want to get this GPU, the bare minimum MacBook Pro configuration is going to be $3,200. Bare minimum. If you just upgrade the GPU and keep everything else at the stock level for that configuration. So it's not going to be a cheap laptop. $3,000 plus, you better make use of it. I'll tell you what. You better be exporting clips and doing the chopping and the rest of it. But they put a graph down here just how much faster it is. And you know, there's one thing this article has that I love. You can probably guess what it is, Will. It is, it's the word teraflops. I love the word teraflops in reference to performance.
Yes.
And they just sound high performance mm-hmm. when you start measuring things in teraflops.
No, it's quite powerful sounding.
I don't know what I'm calculating, but if I'm doing it in teraflops, I'm succeeding. Yeah, if it's so fast that we're measuring in teraflops, it's computational. We're cracking the code. We're sequencing the genome. We're hacking the Pentagon. Of course, not actually. But we're doing it in teraflops. And a guy like you with your background, we don't need to get into it. Mr. Teraflop, sometimes I like
hacking
to
away.
I like to call you sometimes. Anyway, so there's a faster 16-inch MacBook Pro. If you just bought one and you maxed it out, well, you're mad. And if you're in the market for one, you're going to want to look at this GPU if you can take advantage of it. So go check that out. Walmart looks to remove all cashiers from stores.
Yeesh. That's rough.
Now, I personally think Fox 5 New York has taken a little liberty on this headline because I watched a clip and they're saying, yeah, Walmart's experimenting with it. But of course, I can see it. Talked about this before. Post-COVID reality, post-apocalyptic outlook, humans at home, time on their hands, human interaction at an all-time low. 2020, baby. Get used to it.
Very sly automation.
This is the perfect entry point for maximum Terminator automation, Skynet. I got another story ties into that.
Oh, great.
Walmart, bit of a store. Couple of stores.
A giant?
You might call it that. Across the United States, how many Walmarts do you think there are? Never mind the United States. How many Walmarts total, Will? Give it to me. I know you have this data ready to go. You don't even have to Google it.
I would say 50,000.
That's way too many.
Is that too many?
Yeah, it's way too many. But go ahead. Let's get the number. Let's do a Walmart count. A big player. In the absence of Amazon, obviously we're talking about the biggest retailer. I don't know where they stand. They kind of go back and forth. And they sort of have different markets. But 11,500 under 56 banners. So they're probably including, what, Sam's Club and something else. But anyway, let's say 10,000 Walmarts. Walmart is poised to really, could really change the game. There's a couple of players that could really change the game in one swoop, one foul swoop. Amazon's a player, Walmart's a player. They have enough of a footprint that if they made a change across all stores, well, Amazon doesn't have stores, but you see what I'm saying here.
They have like a whole foundation process.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And if they find a system that works in one market, they're going to want to roll it out to the next market. And they have the scale where the impact would be felt. 11,500 stores, how many employees? Give us a little checkup on that. How many Walmart employees in the world? I don't know if you ever typed before, Will.
What's a keyboard?
Look at the number of Walmart associates. Even Vin couldn't guess that. 2.2 million associates at Walmart. And of course, a percentage of them, probably a fairly large percentage, work as cashiers. Mm-hmm. So you start with headlines like this and you got 35 million people in the country we live in, you and I. Mm-hmm. You got 2.2 million Walmart associates in the world. Sheesh. It's a whole city out here.
That's an empire.
That's a whole city worth of people. And they're not going to be happy if all of a sudden these robots are checking you out. I mean, I don't mean robots. I'm talking automated checkouts. We've all done them. Now, Walmart, at this point, they say this is strictly an experiment. It's in Arkansas, and it's a little test run. That's no big deal, a little test run. Deal? We're here for our customers. The lady at the end of the report here on Fox 5 is kind of funny. Play this. And at the very end, so at first she's kind of being nice. She's kind of like, yeah, Walmart testing it out. Of course, this thing's not loading for me. She's like, Walmart kind of testing it out. So So she kind of nice. They're testing it out, a technology. Then you get to the end. and go to the very end, Will, and just get the soundbite. Right here.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with cutting back on their employees.
And the clip ends. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with cutting back on their employees.
Imagine working at Walmart and watching this clip. You're like, I'm going to have a lot more questions than that, you know?
Yeah. Well, of course.
Talk to my supervisor.
Well, for the record, of course it has to do with eliminating employees as well. If they can find efficiencies, yeah, of course it does. But it's just funny how she kind of snuck it in there just a little bit at the end.
Yeah. Just a disclaimer.
Yeah, just snuck it in there. But this, to me, seems inevitable. I mean, how many of these COVID-type experiences are humans willing to go through to before we start to demand this type of technology to limit the exposure that we have to others? Right? People have been through a really treacherous time. Now, look, I'm not saying that a cashier doesn't offer something up. I'll go through a cashier. I'll chat. I'll say, how's it going? You know?
Mm-hmm.
How about the weather outside? Mm. I don't mind. I like humans. But at the same time, there's limits, there's thresholds before people start looking for other solutions. And Walmart, in particular, I mean, you saw Jeff Bezos. Bezos had 150,000 new employees. Bezos on a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got his rocket ship company, but I didn't mean it like that. Yeah. I mean, he's on a rocket ship from a wealth perspective, mm-hmm. even after the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they're sitting there in Arkansas in the Walmart offices saying, we need people in our stores. If they're buying online, most of the time they're going to Amazon. Amazon figured that out.
Yeah.
We got all these stores. It's our advantage. And they can't come in because we got too many humans spitting COVID. I'm not saying they all were, but you see where I'm going here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
As I normally would.
Yeah.
And they can't serve their customers. And there's a lot of customers, I'll tell you as well, on the other side, from a completely sincere standpoint, a lot of customers couldn't figure out how to get to the online thing or get certain things they need online, particularly elderly customers and things like this. Man, I remember reading some stories when the thing first broke. An elderly couple sitting in their car outside a supermarket, holding up a $100 bill to the window, asking mm-hmm. somebody to go into the store because they were worried for their lives. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's the group that's been mm-hmm. affected the most from this outbreak thing. And so for them, if a completely automated store existed that limited the number of people come through and limited the proximity of interaction, that's meaningful. So there is a purpose for it. But yeah, obviously Walmart, a giant corporation, there's more to the story. And certainly these last few months, we all have to assume that the outcome is going to be a greater expedited march towards
automation.
Well, I guess automation, robotics, lack of human contact, whatever you want to call it. Convenience, maybe to some.
Mm-hmm.
Convenience, maybe to some. Time will tell. We shall see. But if Walmart does it, you can bet your bottom dollar. If Walmart does it, a lot of other companies are going to look towards it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Google has opened up Google Maps to game developers completely across the board. Now, you know, I read this headline. I'm thinking to myself, why is that? Is that a big deal? What could this possibly mean? Of course, there was the really big real world video game hit, Pokemon Go.
Yes.
I know maybe you didn't hear
Niantic.
About it. But that company actually used to be under Google's umbrella.
Right.
They're part of Google. And so they had access. They were one of the few companies that had access to Google Maps to build their game on.
Mm.
You don't have Pokemon Go without maps.
Mm-hmm.
The map is the key. It becomes the game world. It becomes the net.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it becomes the map of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read this article here and you come to realize only about 10 developers had access, or sorry, 10 games had been built on Google Maps up until this point. But now Google goes and makes Maps and a platform that anyone can build on, opening things up. And you can imagine the indie games that can emerge with a real world element to them. Mm-hmm. And you start to get your imagination going.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, oh, the type of treasure hunts and the type of spy and the type of clue type games.
Traveling around the world.
Uncovering. Yeah. People like to travel already now. Imagine it's part of a... I remember when I was in Iceland with LG for whatever that promo thing was. And I met up with Ali A at the time. And at the time, Pokemon Go was Banana Town. Mm-hmm. And he's just gobbling up Pokemon in Iceland. And it's a whole new map. So they could be placed who knows where.
Rare Pokemon.
And so I never really got into that game. I played it a little bit just to try it out. And it's a really... There's some kind of cool moment when you happen upon a real world location that has a video game element or some sort of video game prize. It obviously worked really well for Pokemon Go. Now, I wasn't the biggest Pokemon guy, I'll admit it. So I don't think it really hit me the same way it hit Pokemon fans. Were you a big Pokemon?
No.
No.
Maybe for like a day.
But I mean, as a kid.
Yeah, I had the trading cards, the game, Red, Blue, old school, but I wasn't like hardcore, just, played it casually.
Okay. Yeah, well, for some, I think the nostalgia or the connection, the brand awareness, the power of the Pokemon brand had something to do with the success of the Go game.
Oh, for sure.
But then the other piece, maybe that was 50%, and then the other piece was just the novelty of, whoa, I'm driving around or walking around in real life. Because there was the massive groups were meeting up?
Yeah, just blocking traffic. And
the massive groups were looking around for Pikachu and...
Just mindlessly on their phone, they look like zombies, but...
Well, we're zombies anyways. Whether it's
for sure.
It's either, if it's not Pokemon Go, it's TikTok. What are we doing?
But it's just, it was a strange time. I remember people just gathered around at the park, just standing there.
It was huge, man. It has such a novelty factor. It has the potential to just explode. And I'm starting to think right now, do you remember when that podcast Serial came out? Mm-hmm. And it was the uncovering of the clues and true crime podcast blew up.
Yes.
I'm immediately picturing a mature and adult map-based game. Mm-hmm. With real life spooky locations you go to uncover certain clues. Sounds dangerous. I don't know. Yeah. I guess they're all dangerous if you're out marching around the real world. But anyways, they're opening up the Maps platform. And time will tell what that results in for the average person and the types of games that will be available in, I guess, AR format, really. That's what it boils down to. It's a type of augmented reality. You have actual reality and you hold your phone in front of your face and now you have augmented reality. Mm-hmm. And everybody's trying to take a crack at augmented reality. There's all the rumors about Apple looking to do it. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the true path in there. Maybe it's not placing furniture around your house. Maybe it's that the really hot game that pushes this tech or a series of hot games. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for it.
What about real estate? Real estate. I'm thinking you could, through augmented reality, if a place was listed for sale and you held your phone in front of the place with the for sale sign, you could see inside. It would unlock like a nav. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about augmented reality. There's so many. Yeah. It's endless. This is posted on Medium, how Elon Musk's Starlink could disrupt the telecommunications industry. So Elon Musk, it's stars, it's space, it's SpaceX. It's not Mars yet, but things are happening. They just launched those guys up to the space station. And obviously Starlink is another piece. Everything is not known about exactly what Starlink will be. What a name, though.
Mm-hmm.
Starlink. It's very...
It reminds me of like a 90s...
sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Cyber thriller. Yeah. Like well, ET, what did they call it in Terminator, which I referenced earlier? They called it Skynet.
Skynet, yeah.
Starlink, Skynet. Are they the same thing? Yeah. Obviously, I'm not saying that they're going to be the same thing, but it has that same type of vibe to it. So this author, Derek David, has written about how SpaceX's partnership, their potential partnership with a company called Vislink, who's based in Florida, could result in a telecommunications option that's strictly satellite-based and could disrupt the telco industry, companies like Verizon, AT&T, and so forth, by delivering, his reference here, 233 megabytes per second anywhere, including, again, his examples, the Philippines, on a beach in the Philippines, or under a palapa in Uganda. And the reason he used those examples is because those markets typically have unreliable connections, or you're more likely to experience unreliable connections there based on the standard ground-based infrastructure that exists. Once you get up into space, well, once you got satellites floating about, well, now you're not so worried about where you happen to be on the globe. You can position that thing, link up to it. Bingo. And the argument here is that increasingly our connectivity is becoming a utility, an indispensable utility, that being connected could at some point be a necessary thing for a human trying to exist in the world. That could be a possibility, and that some people in certain nations are at a pretty severe disadvantage when it comes to connectivity for the time being, and this could expedite the process of people getting cheaper, faster internet. Of course, you know, a telco is probably not too happy about it, and it makes you wonder why they didn't approach it sooner. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a tremendous amount of complexity involved in actually executing this thing. But this guy thinks he's going to do it. Elon Musk has no shortage of fans, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that think that he can do it. But this kind of encompasses many of his personal interests, including space and technology. And so it's just kind of a side project for now. The guy's got so many stinking projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys like you and I were trying to figure out what we're gonna make for dinner, and. Yeah. Starlink is just a side dish over here.
He's a busy beaver.
Cybertruck, SpaceX, Neuralink. Remember Neuralink? I'm probably missing. He just had a baby. But you know, listen. If you map your life accordingly, you got smart people around you. You know how many smart people are working on SpaceX? Like, it always comes back to people saying Elon Musk. And I'm sure even if you asked him, he would say, oh, this guy and this guy and that guy's doing this amazing thing. And that's one of the things. You continue to approach interesting things. You attract talented people who want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So this is just one of those projects. But that is a cool concept. Connectivity absolutely anywhere and everywhere. Unless you're one of these people, connectivity is too much and stressing you out. You need to disconnect. Mm. Now you can't get away. Beaming at you. TikTok is just hammering your eyeballs. You're in the forest. You're trying to catch a break. And broadcasting.
Comes it's right back at
beamed you. Straight onto the bark of the tree.
Yeah.
Can't escape it. That's some Black Mirror type moment. But there's no shortage of Black Mirror type moments on this podcast.
No.
It's kind of place we go sometimes. Mm-hmm. Healthy every so often.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, we've been covering the trending page on YouTube as you would and as you should. We are a YouTube show. It's a place where this goes in 4K. I'd like to remind you. Plus, the clips are going to be up very soon for the show. We're going to get better at it. We're still working on the delivery of this show. And the audio went out right away. Mm. And you can thank Willie Doo for that. The audio version went out right away. Anyway, so we're looking at the trending page on YouTube to see what the world is talking about and doing. And today, on trending, number one, Star Wars Squadron's official reveal trailer. This one, Vin, you're going to like this one. All right? I know Vin is constantly skeptical of the trailers, of the video game trailers, and particularly the graphics and the cutscenes versus the game engine. He's always, it keeps him up at night.
Really?
Yeah. But when you play this trailer very early into it, they say graphics from the game engine.
Yes.
For guys in like Vin, footage. They put it right in text.
Yeah.
I'm still skeptical. He's still skeptical. But essentially what we're looking at here is another Star Wars game focused on the air warfare, warfare in the air, in space, in some sort of a vessel, a flying craft. And it's 5v5 multiplayer. The Empire and...
go on.
And the Rebels. How dare you? Empire versus the Rebels.
That was a close one.
You know. No, man, I had it the whole way. It's just you were smiling at me. It was making me think, what am I talking about over here? Yeah. So 5v5 multiplayer, I think it's going to make a lot of people happy. You get a TIE fighter, you get yourself an X-Wing. It's a galactic civil war, as it would normally be. And this baby is going to be available October 2nd on PS4, Xbox One, Origin, Steam, Epic Games, VR on PS4, and PC. And we were talking earlier about how cool a high-quality Star Wars VR experience could be in the cockpit. Because VR doesn't map to all games, really, especially ones where you're moving around a lot. It doesn't seem right for you to be sitting still. But in a cockpit, you're sitting there. So now you're looking around the cockpit, and you're in the TIE fighter. Could be very exciting. So you can play a touch of this here, and we'll get a sense for the game engine. Game engine footage. Here he is. Vin's looking. He's looking. We're going to get a sense for his expression here. Game engine footage. Wait, Vin. Wait. Watch the graphics. Look at that. Wait till you see the human face. You're happy right now. Reflections. CG look to it. Asteroids. Bad guys. Good guys. Lasers. He's impressed. He has not looked away yet. And let me tell you something. If you satisfy him, 5v5, we put a squadron together. Always wanted to be in a squadron. Now, Willie Doo, he had some concern for me earlier. He says that the Empire looks too cool. They're supposed to be really bad, and they're not bad enough. And he thinks it's weird that they're pitching the Empire on you. I don't know. Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
No, I feel like these games... are just very, like, Empire used to be bad back in our day. It used to be bad, right?
Well, we're 74 years old, Will.
Evil,
we're 74 years old.
Just trying to, like, balance it into, like, oh, balance. Yeah, you could be evil or good.
Bring balance to the Force.
Well, I'm not doing that. I go for the good all the time. And then
I'm cool with it. For the record, I'm cool with it. Because you got to do the 5v5 squadron anyway, so...
I guess for a game, make you them have both to cool. have it balanced.
Yeah, make them both cool. And they have to... Exactly, you're right. They have to be balanced or from a standpoint to create a fair game.
Yeah,
but I hear you. They don't look that bad. They look kind of cool, to be honest. Anyway, the cockpit is your home. Use the dashboard. Do it in VR. Have yourself a time. The mission is clear. Star Wars is here. EA, Disney... Business, Will. You're a big business guy. They just count money at Star Wars. You put Star Wars, you just count money. That's how it goes. It's fine, though, because I'm sitting here thinking, if you're going to put in this effort, you're going to try to create this experience. Yeah, you could have just done a jet fighter thing or a space fighter thing, but you attach the name and you get some people in the door. And if you have a good game, perfect. Now, I'm not saying it's a good game. I don't know, obviously. It's just a trailer. But... I grew up playing games kind of like this. Space Commander was one of the first games we ever bought. Is that right, Vin? Space Commander, Wise Guys Computers, Space Commander, Wing Commander. I apologize. Wise Guys Computers, Mulock, Young and Mulock.
Good for you. Good job.
Yeah, you didn't think I had that. Used to line up for software, sir. Wing Commander. And they put real actors of the time on the cover. Or did they make a movie out of it? Holy moly, they made a movie out of it as well.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Sheesh. Anyway, the movie, I don't know what happened in the movie, but we had the game, installed it on DOS. And so I've been in a cockpit before, I'll tell you. I know you're skeptical yourself of my skills inside of a cockpit, but I've been there before when I was, how old would I have been? That came out in 99.
Do you have a joystick?
I had a joystick as well. Can you look at the release date on Wing Commander? Just so I can, 1990. Okay, so, what? 99? What is that?
90s?
No, 90 doesn't seem right, because I can't have been 5 years old. It must have been, it was Wing Commander 3. 2 or 3? I think it was 3 was the game. Nope. Definitely not that cover. 2. Maybe 3. 4! 4! Wing Commander 4. Give me 4. Yes! Give me a year on that. 97. 96. Imagine, Will. 11-year-old me. DOS game. Wing Commander 4. Maybe it was Windows. I don't remember. But imagine 11-year-old me lined up for a piece of software, Wise Guys Computers, or maybe it was Future Shop when they were still around.
Mm-hmm.
It's Future Shop. What a time to be alive. That was the peak. And now these kids, these days, they got squadrons. And they got official reveal where they say in-game footage. Where people get mad if it's in-game. Look at my foot! Look at my in-game footage!
Yeah.
What I was working with.
Yeah. They're lucky nowadays.
Yeah.
The kids.
Yeah. Maybe not, though. Because this stuff is so good, it's addictive, that you can't put it down. I could put that down, no problem. I would put that down and go play catch, no problem. Go shoot some hoops, no problem.
Yeah, I remember these games were hard.
Hard. Yeah, whoa. Hard times. Anyway, I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Just looking back.
Yeah, what are we doing? Men. Traveling down memory lane, a couple of old men. But this game reminded me of that game. This game, obviously, going to be a lot better than that game. I might give it a shot. I might even throw on a VR to give it a shot. And it may even impress guys like Vin. He might be able to get some sleep tonight after seeing the in-game footage disclaimer thing in there. He doesn't have to hop on Reddit and complain about it. I knew I had a string here. I knew I had a string there the whole time. You know, you could have told me that. I felt it. No. I was like, is something there?
No.
Anyway, wonderful. That's 2 days. That's 2 for 2. 2 days in a row, Lou later, hitting the airwaves. You can thank Willie Do. He sits down. He asks if I'm ready to go. He prepares the whole thing. The cameras, the overheating, it doesn't matter. We're here. We're in the universe for now.